Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's on way, and we are excited for another day of grace. We're excited that you are here live and also the ones that are listening through our internet program. We thank you for tuning in. We are blessed to have our Word of God. We was talking a little bit ago about having the Word of God and having an English-speaking people, and how God can preserve His Word in any language. But for the authorized version, for the English-speaking people, commonly known as the King James Bible, that's our authority. And if you look in the world today, you think about authority. And people don't have authority, it seems like. But anyway, we're thankful for having the Word. We're singing number 25, Praise Him, Praise Him, Praise Him. And we'll sing all three verses. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim.
Hail, hail, hail Him,
highest our comfort and glory.
Strength and honor,
gift His holy name.
Like a shepherd, Jesus guard His children in
Him all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness.
Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died.
He our rock, our
hope of eternal salvation.
Hail Him, hail Him,
Jesus the crucified.
Sound His praises, Jesus the Lord of sorrows.
Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong.
Praise Him,
tell of His excellent greatness.
Praise Him,
ever a joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer.
Praise
Him, the doors loud as Hosanna's ring.
Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever.
Crown Him, prophet and priest and king.
Christ is coming
over the world victorious,
power and glory
unto the Lord belong. Praise Him,
tell us His greatness.
Praise
Him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We're in lesson 41. Be turning to Genesis chapter 7. As we continue here, lesson 41, and starting with verse 23. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both men and cattle and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they all destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remaineth alive, and that they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevail upon the earth 150 days. 150 days is about 30, if you think about a 30-day month, there are 30 days in a month in the prophetic, in the scriptures. So 150 days he's out there, right? 30 days a month. So at chapter 8, verse 1, and God remember Noah. You know, the flood was universal, whether you believe it or not, it was universal. Everything dies. Okay? Everything dies except what was in the ark. And we think about fish and stuff. Did they die? I'm not sure about that. But they are in here to show God's judgment on sin. That's what that flood was, to show God's judgment on sin. And it shows how important God felt, and it was to protect those first three divine institutions. You remember what they were? What's the first divine institution?
Free will.
Free will. What's the second?
Marriage.
Marriage. What's the third? Family. And by the institution, and the fourth one, we're getting ready to find out what the fourth one's going to be. Okay? Now, come to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hold your finger there and go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, who was Peter? He was one of the apostles, right? Is he your apostle?
No.
No. And if you know where 1 Peter is, we talk about these are the Hebrews epistles, okay? Hebrews through Revelation that goes with them. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to see some understanding of a typology here, okay? There are three people back in Genesis chapter 5 that we saw last time. You remember the three people? What type of three people there were from Genesis chapter 5?
Oh, mostly dying.
Well, they're mostly dying, but there are three types. There were three types of people prior to the flood. Let's just say that. And this is a picture of the tribulation period. What's going to happen to them over here after we're taken out of here. There's three people there and three types of people. You remember Enoch? He was translated, right? Before the flood. That could be a type of the body of Christ. Then you had the world.
Who was that?
The world. The sinners. The world. The people. Was judged. They destroyed in the flood. That's non-believers. Then you had Noah and his family. They preserved through the flood. And that's the type of little flock in the tribulation period. Is not the little flock in the tribulation period going to be saved over here? Well, that's what the Bible says. Doesn't the Antichrist come down and reveals himself to destroy every Jew out there? Destroy Israel, the seed? What happens to them? They run, don't they? They go to the wilderness. It's preserved. The flood is a type of tribulation period. The judgment of God. That's Luke 17. 1 Peter, I told you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting with verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which he went and preached unto the spirits in the prisons, which sometimes was disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by what?
Water.
Okay, it is important that you notice that. Is Noah was Noah a sinner? Mm-hmm. Was Noah a sinner?
Yes.
Yes, he was. And God tells him about the judgment that's going to come. Now I'm going to share this with you. If you start to tell people about the judgment that's going to come today, do they listen? No. They think it's a movie, don't they? They think it's, you know, it's not going to happen to me. That's just fairy tales type of stuff. He tells them about a flood that's going to come. He tells them about the wrath of God being poured out in judgment. God tells them about the ark, doesn't he? Tells Noah now. So he's telling them some information that's going to help them escape the judgment. And then he goes, Noah builds the ark. Noah is saved from the judgment of the flood. That's what that water was about. He's going to judge the earth. It wasn't good. There was ungodly people, according to Jude. The wrath of God falls. The judgment of water comes. But Noah and his family goes into the ark, and the ark that they are preserved through the flood. We looked at that last time. That ark is was a floating boat, right? It wasn't a cruise ship to the Bahamas. They had provisions and stuff there. They come out of the other side of the flood into a new heaven and a new earth. And there's a whole new world system there. Okay? It's been washed clean with water. And they go out and they serve the Lord and they have the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And they have and they are to go out with a new commission. And what was that commission that God told Noah and his sons to do? Remember what it was? Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. Much like he told who? Adam and Eve. So there's some things going on there that has to be taking place. Now, Peter says 8 souls were saved by water. They were saved from what? The wrath, but they saved from the flood. They didn't get wet, did they?
No.
Oh, there's another job baptism if you think about it. They didn't get wet, and they didn't get wet, and the water bore them up and saved them. They were saved in the ark, out of the water. Okay, that ark is what preserved them. Verse 21. The like figure, the thing that happened to Noah was a type, a figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not putting away the filth of the flesh, not just taking a bath and cleaning your flesh up, not putting away the sins of the flesh either, but the answer of good conscience towards God. It was the obedience of faith, what they're doing, right? And by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. Now that figure, the flood, the wrath of God is what? Coming. He's told Noah it's coming. And that took 120 years to build that ark, did it not? Mm-hmm. And you think about every day people coming by him laughing at him. Every day. What are you doing now, Noah? You know, you can only imagine. Some of you have been through some things when you share gospels and stuff like that, and they laugh at you. That's your opinion. And sometimes you get upset, don't you? You want to throw something at you. Don't ever come back in my house again. You know, I hope you know that... You know, it does get frustrating sometimes, but we shouldn't let that bother us. We should stay straight, because why? We should know what mankind is. We should know what man will do. And the flood is coming. And Peter preaches to Israel, save yourself to untoward generation. Did he not say that in chapter 2, Acts? And even chapter 3, to the nation? And John the Baptist, what did he preach? Flee from the what? The wrath to come. And they go get into the ark, a vessel of safety. That vessel of safety is Christ. If you think about it today, it's Christ that you got to get in, right?
Amen.
And you know what? He places you in that. He circumcises you by the operation of God. He baptizes you by the Spirit. It's all about what Christ is doing for us. He's placing us into him. Now, how can you get out of that, guys? Oh, because I don't feel good today. I ate something I wasn't supposed to drink. Or eat something I wasn't supposed to drink or eat. Doing whatever you think, because it's the flesh, and I don't feel like I'm saved today, so I'm not going to church. That type of thing. You can't get out of what God puts you into. Could Adam and... Did Could Noah get out of the ark? Even that little window that he put in there, it was had a cover over it. They couldn't get out of that ark. That's, to me, that's awesome. And the vessel of safety. The vessel of safety, deliverance, is the little flock. The vessel of safety is the little flock identified together with the Messiah. And if you think about it, they are a remnant in whom there is deliverance. Joel chapter 2 says, those people that are preserved through the flood until the millennium kingdom. And he said, and the thing, they are saved physically through the flood, like Noah was, in order to come over and to be spiritual salvation into the kingdom. Now we talk about Israel all the time. Not only they was a physical people, they was also what? A spiritual people. You ever thought of yourself that way? We always talk about, oh, the body of Christ is spiritual. You know, we're the spiritual people. We're spiritual. But I see you physical right now. Aren't you a physical person right now? I can't put my hand through you and you through me. I don't see you floating around eating angel food cake and all that stuff. You're a physical people. And we need to understand that what we do in the physical aspect affects our spiritual aspects, same as Israel. I might get phone calls and stuff sometimes like, well, you didn't make a distinction between Israel's program and the Body of Christ program. Yes, I did. Today, you trust Christ died for you. He put you in the body. He's not building a nation. But the nation Israel is supposed to have been a spiritual people and a physical people on this earth. They're the only visible people that God has at the time. And you're the only visible spiritual people that God has today. And when you rightly divide the word of truth, it makes the sense, don't it? They are remnant in whom there are deliverance. They are a physical they are saved physically through the flood. That's what I just mentioned. The nation Israel receives its spiritual salvation as well as a physical salvation in the days of the kingdom. Right over here. That's what's going to happen. Abraham, what was his focus? Promise and a nation. Abraham knew that one day I'm going to live in a kingdom and live forever. Physically and spiritually. Peter is saying here that the kingdom and the day when eternal life is given to Israel, what's over there? Okay? It's not given to Israel today. But when you listen to these radio preachers and TV preachers, they got you becoming a part of Israel, don't they? Y'all know that to be error. Peter is saying here that he preached to these people. The figure involved here of Noah, they believed what Peter preaches about the judgment to come. They were baptized and they were saved through the flood. That like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save, that is baptism saves the people just like Noah going into the ark and saving him and him being saved by water. That water, what did it do to everybody else? It killed them. The water killed everybody else. But Noah was dry, wasn't he? He didn't get wet. He didn't get wet at all. Water bore the ark up and held it above the judgment of the Almighty God. That's what it did. It preserved him. And the water under the and which was under the water, they drowned. God destroyed them. God put everybody else under the water, drowning them. He holds up Noah up and preserves him. Then they go into a new earth and so on for so forth with their ministries. That water didn't affect baptism wise to Noah, did it? Peter says this. Says the same is true of us. Now who's the us Peter talking to? All the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to us. Peter's talking to the little flock. Peter writes these books after he understands what God is doing with the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about the time period over there. That's why Peter's books is over here, not in after Book of Romans. That type of thing. The flood, what's happening is the flood, the days of Noah, the wrath is coming. We go into the ark, which is the sheepfold. John 10, the door is the sheepfold, according to John 10. The porter opens the door is water baptism. John the Baptist was a porter to those who opened up for Jesus Christ. And that it is the door by which we get into the ark and is preserved through judgment. So don't miss this issue in the typology back there. Go back, be turning back to Genesis chapter 8. Tribulation saints are going to go through the tribulation, but they're safe in the ark. They're safe in the protection that God has provided for them. That's what Peter is saying. He's using Noah as a typology. I wouldn't mind using Noah as a typology for what he stood for 120 years. And then the time being ungodly and stuff. Now I'm sure he still did some things that he wasn't supposed to do, but he did exactly what God said to do, and God counted as righteousness. Chapter 8, verse 1, Genesis. And God remembered Noah. That's an assurance. God did not forget about him, did he? Now, from chapter 5 to chapter 8, here's chapter 8, verse 1, he didn't forget about him. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made the wind to pass over the earth and the water a siege. You know what that wind does? It evaporated it. Mm-hmm. You watch these rain, you wait. Wind's coming, it's going to dry it up. I see it all the time. And you want that when it's slick out there and water everywhere. The foundation also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain was from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the water was abated. And the ark rested in 7 months on the 17th day of the month until the mountains of Ariak. That, you know where that's at? It's way north of Palestine, yeah, up in Turkey area.
What if they celebrate Thanksgiving?
Not sure. And the waters deceased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So the waters is just slowly going down. It's taking its time, going where it's supposed to go. And it came to pass at the end of how many days?
40
days that Noah opened the window of the ark in which he had made. Now what do we know about 40? Tribulation period. It's a probation period. We talk about, you know, tribulations, working patience, patient experience, experience hope. 1 to 20, tribulations, nothing's working. 20 to 40, patience. You settle down a little bit. 40 to 60, experience. 60 to, you guys are a lot older than 80 in here, but anyway, just joking. You know, 60 to beyond is an experience, is hope. Sorry, thank you. But the thing is, 40 is a tribulation period. And it says, and he sent forth a raven, which went to and fro until the waters were dried up off the face of the earth. The raven goes out and flies around. That's all he's doing. He also sent a dove. Also, he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him, unto the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew the waters has been abated from off the face of the earth. In other words, the dove comes back and has something that he picked up, some foliage from a tree, and he knew what was going to happen, right? He knew what's happening. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. The dove doesn't come back because why?
It can survive out there.
Yep. He found a place he can live. Mm-hmm. Yep. He found a place where to stay. Now, there's a lot of sermons about the raven and the dove, and I'm not going to get involved with that. You know, I always think that the raven's not the good type of bird, you know, but it was on the ark. You know, there was 7 animals out there, all kinds of different animals. I always think the raven and stuff is Satan's bird. You know, you watch him, he's sitting out there in his trees. He'll show up when you least expect it, the type of thing, you know. But anyway, dove has always been a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit and that type of thing. But Genesis 8:13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, he has been there a year now, okay? In the first month, in the first day, if you go back to Genesis 7:11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day, you can figure out exactly how long he's been out there in the ark. And you can figure that date. Of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked. He took off the covering of the windows and looked out, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. You would think as it was going down, it would, you know, how the boat, if it's sitting on the mountain.
It was already rested. So
yeah, so
it probably didn't wobble much.
You know, so yeah, it had come down because, you know, if he's sitting on a peak of a mountaintop, like the Grinch and that, if you watch the Grinch movie, he's doing a sled back and forth like this. No, it was nothing like that. He settled down, right? And that's why he sent those doves out there to say, hey, I can't release these animals if the whole earth hasn't been that way. But evidently, Noah made a window, a cubit high of the top of the ark with the covering to keep the water out of it, right? So he saw the windows around the earth. Around the ark, and he covered it because the rain was coming in. And 8:14, in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. He has been there a year and 10 days in that ark.
Imagine a breath of fresh air.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm trying to think something that... Might not disturb many of you, but some of. Can you imagine being in a cabin for a year and 20 days with no running water, you know, and all that stuff? Now, some of you might not. Hey, I can go up in the mountains and I can stay and get off the grid, and I'll be happy to go up. But you got your wife and the rest of your family too, and all the animals to take care of. Where are we at?
15.
And God spake unto Noah, saying. God is going to tell Noah to go out. When he steps forth, he's going to step forth on a new heaven and a new earth. You still in 2 Peter?
Yeah.
2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. He steps off in a new world. You're going to begin all over again, Noah. Second Peter 3:5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly man. There is an old world, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that God spared not the old world in Noah's day. And now there's Noah going into a new world. A tremendous amount of change has taken place in the earth. You agree or disagree? Since the floods came and all that stuff. And geographically, changes has taken place. The flood has weakened, wreaked havoc on the earth. There's also astrological changes that we kind of are told. The earth is tilted on its axis now. You heard that, right? And there are climate changes that will tremendously change man's life. Man don't live to be 600, 700, 900 years old. And there is one of these three reasons at the beginning and middle of a lifespan of man. Let me back up a minute. Diseases start to form more. And the lifespan of man starts to decrease. And after the flood, longevity is no longer something man possesses. Living 800 to 900 years like a shared, man's longevity immediately begins to fade off rapidly. Verse 15, and God's Genesis 8:15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, "Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons and thy three and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee." Thee, every living thing that is with thee, of all the flesh, both of fowl and the cattle and the creeping things that creep upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar upon the Lord, unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered the burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more living, every thing living, as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." God had made a promise to Noah. In response to his worship service that Noah offered. What will happen if Noah just got out of the ark and said, "Hey, let's go, guys, let's keep running. It's time to go." But what did Noah do? He built an ark. How did Noah know that? How did Noah know what to do?
He was a righteous man.
What was going on in Noah's days? Enoch's days. You know, and all that. What did Adam do when he got kicked out of the garden? He kept bringing sacrifices and sacrifices. So the righteous people would know what to do. And what kind of animals did he do?
Clean.
He clean animals. The fowl and all that stuff. It wasn't the seven ones. He brought the cleaned off for sacrifices. And the burnt offering. God made a promise, okay? What happened was Noah came out of the ark after the flood, and he took those clean animals. Remember, he brought seven of the clean animals according to God's instructions, and he made an altar. And there was the first altar that appeared on the earth in the Bible. And he offered sacrifices and burnt offerings, and the Lord accepts it. And the sweet Savior burnt up before the Lord. The burnt offerings is an institution in scriptures right there. Previous at the time, none didn't need to build an altar. They had a place on earth at the gate of the Eve, Garden Eve. That's where the sacrifices was brought to. And they had a place where God's presence was on the earth. Prior to the flood, God removed his presence off the earth. The flood came, and he then instituted the responsibility of Noah leading his family in worship. Imagine that. Imagine that father of that family taking his kids to church. You know what I'm talking about? He's leading his family to worship. And not going over to the gate of Eden individually, personally, responsible to go, but now you have the the family leading the head of the family leading his family in worship. And they offered burnt offerings and done the things that ascended up to the Lord. From here, they had to build an altar and had a sacrifice. Those things to God from there on. You know what I'm talking about? From Noah on, they're building sacrifices.
Building altars.
Altars, thank you. That's why you got all these cultures out there has sacrifices. You know, they're sacrificing people. I mentioned last week about the Malians down in the, yeah. They would go after other tribes and capture them and sacrifice them. You know, if you know about the Hawaiian Islands, and you know that king over there, I forget his name, he brought all the islands together. Well, there was one island, Fuji, over there, will cut your head off. And you know, all them islands, each island was different stuff. People would sacrifice human sacrifices to people. From here, you had to build the altar, and God not being here, but up in heaven, that's where he's at. And the aroma going up to him, and the ascending of the incense and so forth. So you have Noah coming and worshiping, and it's important to notice the sequence here. We're getting very close, but here's something you got to think about this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and built an ark. Did he not? And Noah feared the judgment and wrath that God told him that he was coming. Therefore, by faith, believing that what God had said, he built an ark. The result was he saved his family. That's the result. Now, could other people got in that ark? Who, you know, we can only speculate, but hey, if there was another big family or something like that, they could have built another ark. He could have had several arks out there, but he built one ark. And what did he do? He saved them physically from the flood. That's what he did. And there is a physical salvation involved here, as well as a spiritual salvation. He got to pass. He got past the flood, and by faith he offered the sacrifices, just like Israel is going to do and stuff. He says, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Who says that? You remember who says that?
Peter says that
in Acts chapter 3. He says in Acts chapter 1 when he pricked their hearts and said, you killed, just like David, I mean, you killed the Messiah. And they said, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins and speak in tongues as evidence. What does he say in chapter 3? He's got the same message there. He's looking at the nation there, the rulers stuff. He says this. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When's that going to take place? Peter's over here in Acts chapter 2. He's talking about repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. When is that going to be? Over there. That's when their sins are going to be blotted out. So if you know people today, and you do, and you know religious systems out there today, and you do, then 90% of them will base their belief in Acts chapter 2, verses 38, 39, repent and be baptized. You know the whole story. They put an axe and 2 38s up to your head and say, you got to do this or you're going to die and go to hell. But that's not true. And then he says, if you believe that, and then you turn around, Peter's saying the same thing, that your times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord over here, that's when you're going to get your sins blotted out. But until that time, what's going on? You're still in your what? Sins. That's not good news. You only get the good news when you get to Paul. But the presence of the Lord, salvation from the wrath to come, first blood shedding was at the altar, and then the day of the atonement. It's just like with Israel. They were to be saved through the tribulation, with the second advent of Christ, and then they go into the new earth, and you have a parallel right there. Meanwhile, the dispensation of grace was hid during that time, was not made known. And you get in arguments with people saying, oh, it was hid. They just didn't know. No, it was hid in God. And it was revealed to Paul. Well, Paul preached, Paul knowed everything the New Testament knew about the Christ dying. And I told that guys on the Facebook, I'm like, that ain't no secret Christ is going to die. He said, oh, Paul read using Isaiah 53 and I'm like, Psalms 2, Psalms 22, tells you Jesus Christ is going to come and die. I said, in fact, it's Genesis 3:15 when he promises a redeemer. Okay? That's Jesus Christ coming to die and redeem mankind. But you get people just saying, well, Paul preached the same thing. You're going to go through that. But he didn't. You don't get the fact that everybody, that Christ died for all till you get to who? Paul. He died for many in Matthew. His bloodshed was for many. Who is that many? Jews. Israel. And all that want to believe Israel's program. You Gentiles could be saved back there. Today, we're not waiting for the redemption over here that he's going to come back and blot our sins out. We have atonement now according to Romans chapter 5 verse 11. And then he says, Noah, ark, salvation from wrath, flood, Noah's altar, blood shedding, day atonement, new earth, Israel, saved through tribulation, second advent, day of atonement, times of refreshing, new earth. A lot of typologies there. And I do believe this, what I know now, that I didn't know then, Israel has the word of God. And if they was following that typology all the way through this, they would have realized this is Jesus. This is what we need to do. Instead of going on fulfilling their own righteousness, that parallel there, when Christ talks about, but in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's not just talking about the issue of wrath and judgment. There is a parallel. You and I receive all of our salvation, the spiritual things, all present possession in their fullness right now. We don't have a parallel what they're going to go through over there. We have it right now. And we don't have to wait until a nation and others get it. We're living in a time right now that's a lot of chaos all over the world again. And it's always going to be until the Lord comes back. So just might as well just buckle up your belt buckle there and just say, okay, here we are. Tighten your bootstraps. We got a thing to do. It's not going to stop. But we don't have to wait for a nation to get what we have God given us right now. We have it in the moment we place into Christ. And the only thing that is waiting for the physical fulfillment of some of their promises, like getting a what? A new body. We have all the promises of God right now. We are not, we're saved from the wrath to come. We're not going through no tribulation period. We are in Christ. We are in the ark right now, if I can say that without, you know, throwing people off. We're in Jesus Christ. And God's put us in that. And we can't get out of it. And I'm not promoting anything that you can get out of it. But I know that sometimes I don't feel worthy of being there, to be honest with you. I'm like, what am I doing? That's not, but it ain't about me. It's about what we're doing. He sacrificed. He made the ultimate sacrifice. When God the Father sent his Son to die on the cross, did that satisfy the sacrifices? The ultimate sacrifice that you can give is give your life for somebody. You know that? And Christ Jesus did it for us. And that, now that we're in the dispensation, you're talking about a boat. We're in a boat, the body of Christ. And we're just waiting on our new body. So all that stuff we talk about from over here in Genesis is going to be in play all through the scriptures as typologies and all. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.